Welcome to the Ecom Profit Podcast. I'm your host, Dawn Sinkula, CEO of Digital Dawn, and I'm so excited to be here with you today. Here on the Ecom Profit Podcast, I open Pandora's box and share with you and other ecom business owners weekly topics that will help you explode your business online. I outline my tried and true secret sauce, the D2D method, that's guaranteed to bring your business results. As an entrepreneur myself, I try to pull out all the same entrepreneurial passions in others. So get ready to be fired up about your business and let's have a great time. Welcome to the Ecom Profit Podcast. Welcome to the Ecom Profit Podcast. I'm your host, Dawn Sinkula. And today we have a very special guest, Sterling Jones, who is the CEO of JoJo's Chocolate. And we're going to talk about all things growing your business, vision, mission, purpose, why do you do what you do, all those kinds of things. But welcome to the show, Sterling. I'm so happy to have you. I've been excited to have you for a long time. Can't wait to dig in.
Thank you so much. Thrilled to be here. It's a pleasure. And any chance I get to talk about my mom, JoJo, and why we do what we do, I'm thrilled. So I appreciate the opportunity.
So let's talk a little bit about JoJo's Chocolate to begin with. Okay. Yeah. So we've done homework and I've read up on you and things like that. But for those people who maybe aren't as familiar with your brand or don't know kind of the story behind it, tell me a little bit about what happened, kind of how it came to be.
Absolutely. So I always tell people I started the brand for two reasons. My mom is first and foremost. She's my hero. She's always been somebody who I've looked up to and admired. And in 2012, she was diagnosed with cancer. In 2019, she ended up passing away from breast cancer. And throughout that journey, I was amazed over and over again by her. She fought it and lived with what I describe her life as. Internally, we call it LOF. It's love, optimism, faith, fight, and fun. And that's really our compass and what we're trying to build from a culture standpoint internally. And it's really what I want people to live and feel through the brand, which is love. And so I tell people all the time, from day one, I wanted to spread love through JoJo's and have her hopefully be that example and what people can look to and aspire to be like. You know, people say to me all the time, oh, it's so cool, you're carrying on her legacy. And I love that. I appreciate people saying that. For me, it's less about carrying on a legacy, because I mean, she had no intention of starting a brand. Like her life goal wasn't to build a chocolate company, right? It was really to have an amazing family and live life, you know, full of love. And so I want to inspire people to live like JoJo. And then second is help people fight sugar. While I started this early on, I was like, wow, just came to learn that the average American consumes 70 grams of sugar or more a day. And right, the recommended amount is about 30. And so we're eating more than two times the amount we should. And we need solutions. So internally, we call all the time, spread love, fight sugar is really who we are, what we're about. And the way we do that is through delicious dark chocolate snacks.
I love that. I love that so much. I also have had a family member with really severe cancer who's been fighting cancer for a very, very long time. My sister, actually. And I learned a lot about sugar and sugar consumption and how terrible sugar and cancer actually are for each other, right? It kind of feeds off of that. And so, you know, very similar to you, as we've gone through the journey of understanding health and exploring wellness and really recognizing that sugar is kind of at the heart of like all things bad, finding mm-hmm. alternative options for people has been really hard. And so right. when you struggle across, you know, come across yours and you see somebody who's made it's good, first of all, because I've tried your product many times. It's actually quite good. And there's a real solid mission behind what you're doing and why you did it, which I think is amazing. So
yeah. And it really comes down to that excess amount of sugar. Like it just, we consume so much. And yeah, it's arguably the worst thing to eat while fighting cancer.
Exactly.
And what's so hard is like, then there becomes so much stress around that. Right. And so then you right. add this stress about sugar on top right. of sugar. And right. so my mom was like, I just need something that I can like plan on having a little snack every day. I yeah. know I get my bite of chocolate, and it frankly, it works for people who aren't, or not works, but that train of thought really resonates with people who aren't even battling cancer. It's like, hey, right. I know I should eat better. oh, I get to look forward to a bite of dark chocolate or a bite of this chocolate snack, I can say no to all the other things. So that's where really we solve a pain point for a lot of people.
Yeah. And I love that at the mission and the core of why you do and what you've continued to do. And I know from my experience, I worked at Target as a senior leader for many years for them. And we have other clients that we work with at the agency that are in the food space, right? Specifically. And it's a really hard industry to make your name, right? And you guys have managed, JoJo's managed to break out as one of the top, let's call it healthy alternatives, right? Or healthy foods. Tell us, besides from having an amazing product, which I think is kind of, you know, critical to all good, you know, stores, right? Or all good products. What's probably like the success you think in your specific industry that's really helped you stand out or move the business forward?
Yeah. Great question. I will say, like, first and foremost, to me, it comes down to taste. Like, it depends what category you're in, right? Frank, like protein bars, you can get away with things that aren't like delicious, right? Or even other categories,
right?
You know, chocolate, you gotta have taste, you know, you've gotta have taste first and foremost. And so what I hear over and over again, when we do demos and events, is people being, wow, did not expect it to taste that good. And so to deliver over and over again on taste in a category that, I mean, at the end of the day, you're buying chocolate because you want to indulge, you want to taste something that's good. And to then on top of that say, hey, by the way, this is half the sugar of your average candy bar. And so those two combos really help us stand out. On top of that is we do something unique, which is add a little bit of plant-based protein in the chocolate. So you really have got great balance between carbs, protein, and sugar. So you're not going to experience your typical blood sugar spikes when eating JoJo's.
Right.
And I'd like to say my mom was a food scientist, but she wasn't. However, somehow she managed to figure it out.
On this.
Like, that was her whole goal. Was like, I'm tired of like the crash after candy and you know, the highs and lows. And so it was a lot of experimenting, though. She tried so many different recipes. And so although she was a food scientist, it wasn't just like, okay, I tried this recipe and it worked. Like, it was a lot of experimenting.
I'm sure.
And so kind of those combinations, delicious, nutritionals, and the added protein.
Yeah.
And then you've got to throw in there, obviously, the story and the reason we do what we do. At the end of the day, in this category, frankly, any startup, any new category, relentlessness is everything. And we've continued to test and try and lean into what works and then continue to lean in there. And, you know, fortunately, we have people that just love JoJo's. And so we know we have something, and it's a matter of next is like getting that message and getting our why and the reason to believe in JoJo's out there.
Absolutely. I love that. So quality, good product, good message, right? And it really boils down to that. But yet it seems so challenging for so many business owners, right? And we have listeners that are at every stage in, you know, the business. They've just started, middle, growing, kind of all that kind of stuff. For you, if you could turn the clock back, okay, and you could kind of share some advice with people, maybe when you first started or you really first realized like, hey, we're going to really make this into something, what would be that piece of advice that you would give yourself or others kind of at the beginning?
So good. So good. Oh, there's a lot, but you know, usually go to like kind of what's most recent, most pressing. I would say for me, it's lean into what's working. So something that hurt us for a while is we kind of got out over our skis of like hiring, assuming the growth would come, going a little bit too wide from product, from branding, from messaging, and really like focus on why you're starting the company in the first place. You know, early on, it was like literally just satisfy sugar cravings. And then we got a little bit too wide and like tried different things and went a little too wide in messaging. And now we've come back to like, what's working?
Yeah.
Lean into that over and over and over again, you know? And some people would say, well, then you're kind of a concentration issue. And I'm like, any new company is going to have that. You've right. got to lean into what's working, do that enough over and over again to one, have enough like money and profit to then go into the next area, whether that's a different category. So I would say try to find as quickly as you can what's working, the people that love your brand, and do that over and over again until you build up enough money and profit or whatever it may be to then go into the next. It takes a long, long time to tap out of a certain market.
Right.
You know?
Yeah.
And so for us, good that's point. Been super, super impactful, is to lean into what works for us, find that out. And it's a quote that I do not like because it's true. You know, those quotes that like, I don't like that one, even though it's true. It's why you don't like it. One of those for me early on was, make sure I don't say it incorrectly, you can't be something for everybody, but you can be everything for somebody, right?
Yes, so, yes, like, yes. That's great.
And I was like, no, like I can be something for everybody. Like everybody loves chocolate. Everybody wants to eat healthier. And it's like, no, that's not true. Not everybody likes dark chocolate. Not everybody's trying to eat less sugar.
Right.
And so focus on, hey, we are delicious dark chocolate. And there are so many people just there. Don't try to go everywhere. And so over time, we've leaned into that over and over again and doing so much better that way.
Riches are in the niches, right? I think that's another one that I kind of always think, is it? But it is. Yeah. And I hear it over and over again to kind of lean into what's working. Yeah. Okay. So before we got on, you mentioned something, and I'm going to kind of put you on the spot here, about brand ambassadors, right? And using brand ambassadors to kind of grow your business. I want to shift a little bit in talking about this journey, because you have both an online brand that you sell from your, but you're also in stores. You're kind of growing and expanding in all different types of markets. Tell me a little bit about, you know, how you've been able to do that. Has it been through brand ambassadors? Has it been just like, has it been very strategic that you're going to go into retail first and then grow online second? Or kind of talk a little bit about how the growth has progressed and how you've done that.
Yeah. So early on it was classic sleeping in my car, selling to CrossFit gyms, yoga studios, right? Like just trying to figure out farmers markets, that stuff.
Right.
Then realized I was going to starve to death if I kept doing that. So got online, and you know, there's less barriers to entry on Amazon and on a website. So started there, and Amazon is where we started to see consistent repeat business and really, really dove into the Amazon algorithm and just that world and started having success. And so that enabled us to say, hey, here's how many reviews we have. Here's the repeat business. Here's what's going on Amazon, to then take it to retail. And for food, retail is still king. Like you've got to win in retail. Now, I would say, you asked earlier if I could go back. That is actually something I would go back, and I would delay retail and I would build a much stronger online following. I will say in chocolate, it is definitely harder than in this space. Like you see Magic Spoon, who's cereal, much easier to ship cereal online.
Yeah.
Protein bars, much easier, even protein. So that is the one caveat I'd say, is like, my mom and I early on, we'd make chocolate all day. We'd wait till 9 p.m., cool down our car, drive to the USPS store at 9:30, throw it on there before it melted. Like, so I'd call out, was like, yeah, chocolate was hard to just build an online community.
Yeah.
But I would say there's so much power in building this community first before you go into retail. So coming back to your question, grew on Amazon, but then realized we got to go into retail. And so I had at least a story I could share of, people love this, we've got reviews, we know. And then we went to Sprouts first, because we knew natural, better for you. And they gave us the opportunity. They rolled us out nationwide. That was a wild experience. The story of my first pitch meeting, the buyer took a bite and threw it away. And I thought, oh, great, he didn't like that. But I quickly learned he loved it. And he had samples all day, so he can't eat a full bar everything.
Right. Well, you can't eat a full sample of every person that comes in, right?
My first thought was, okay, well, that's isn't happening.
Yeah. Yeah.
So anyways, we got Sprouts early on, enabled us to, you know, try it and learn it. And then, you know, in terms of like a brand growth, we actually went to Costco pretty early on, from what your typical maybe brand trajectory would be. But we were able to start small and say, like, let's try 15 buildings, And we just were able to demo and demo and demo. And that's something we learned is when we can get JoJo's in people's hands, get them to try it, we have success. Because that wow factor with JoJo's of, whoa, it only has 8 grams of sugar and it tastes good, you know? So that was the trajectory, was Amazon, a natural food store, Sprouts, and then local Whole Foods club for us. And while that, we still had online going, you know?
Yeah.
And then of course we hit COVID. So buyers stopped taking meetings and we pivoted and really leaned in online and just grew 10X, even more than that, exponentially on online. And then as soon as stores opened back up, I was like, okay, let's go back and let's go get into retail.
Yeah.
And like I said earlier, for a little bit there, we were going too wide though. We really went, we call it inch deep, mile wide. And we realized, no, we should have gone a mile deep, like just natural or just West Coast. We've since pivoted and pulled back a little and said, we're focusing on where we are. We're going to win in these retailers and then continue to grow from there.
So let's talk about the online space a little bit more, because we've got so many people that are, you know, doing online businesses and they've thought about going to retailers, but they're really struggling kind of just even to make the imprint. You talked about Amazon as part of that journey for you on your own brand, your own store. What are some things that you did consistently to continue to grow that brand that you could give advice to other people on that? Because a lot of times people think, well, you know, it's a saturated market, whether it's in food or health and beauty or whatever, you know, it's so saturated. How do you stand out? You have a good product, so on and so forth. That's really hard when you have never tasted it it's not something you can really see, you know, clothing wise or skin wise or things like that. So how did you kind of go through, you know, the online journey space in something that really I think has to, you know, be tasted to make sure that it's good before you buy it kind of thing?
So true. That's where like chocolate is a battle. And then you gotta focus on average order value, right? If you're going to make any money online. And when somebody's used to going into a grocery store, spending $2 to $5 on chocolate, and now you're asking them to spend $40 or $50, tougher.
Hard.
So, so to answer that question, some things we did that worked well was we definitely worked on like offers. You know, we didn't want to be a discount brand. We also realized exactly what you just said though, like in order for somebody to try it, you've got to have like a reason. You got to say like, you know, so we did a lot of landing pages that we tested different offers, and it wasn't just like get 50% off. We tried to do more like buy two to get one. So at least didn't feel like a discount brand. It felt more like a promotion. And I think there's a big difference in terms of discounts versus promotions, just from the perception. So we did a lot of landing pages that we tried buy three, get one, or different things like that mm-hmm. helped. The other thing that helped us was finding the right influencers. Influencers is tough though. Like it depends on your industry and all that and depends how much margin you have. But when you find the influencers that work, that really can say the right message, and something we did was, you know, whitelisting where we work with influencers and run those through their page so that it's showing up as them talking about the brand, driving to a landing page that resonates with exactly what they were saying and an offer. That combo seemed to work well for us, you know, and a lot of that was Facebook and learning that. And then as well, on top of that, just testing worked well. Like we would be surprised how often, like we would do a carousel ad of just delicious photos and that outperform this nice video we made.
Right.
And something I would definitely warn of is like, also don't go get ahead of yourself of like, oh, this is working, let's go do a huge production and make a massive video when you haven't truly nailed the message that works.
Yeah.
That's speaking from experience. We did that.
Right.
And it completely flopped. And so being able to continually just try to say, okay, let's add every week, let's add an extra, whatever, maybe like 5% or 10% better, 5% better every week, and keep improving. And online, there's so many different levers to pull. So that you also have to recognize, for me, was like, okay, I can't do all of it. I can't do website optimization. I can do and just make things a little bit better each week or each month and get to the point where, I fully optimized my site. I've got everything firing.
Yeah.
But give yourself a little time to keep improving.
Right.
And you can do that if you're not gambling several hundred thousand on a video.
Right. Right. I think the interesting thing that you said about the influencer pieces is a lot of people feel like that's a really hard thing to do, right? As a small brand, to get influencers to even, yes, you know, be interested in that. Do you have any tips or advice for how you did that with influencers? Did you hire a company to help you with influencers? Mm-hmm. Did you literally just go scrolling on Facebook and Instagram and find people and said, hey, yeah, do you want some product?
Totally.
You know?
And yeah, even in just the last 12, 24 months, the landscape has changed.
Sure.
You know?
Yeah. Completely.
I mean, when we were doing it, we'd scroll and we'd just message, and we really took the approach of, we're a small brand, got an awesome story, an awesome product. Would you try it? And we just tried that. And if we got people to get it in their mouths and then them reach out and say, oh, I'd love to work with you, from there, we could negotiate how, whether it was, we did a lot of affiliate early on with just paying commission because we couldn't afford, here's $2,000 for a post.
Right.
You know, you also got to be very, call it self-aware or brand aware, you know, on your industry. You can't compare yourself. I did the mistakes of compare myself to the beauty industry. They have such different margins. So you got to be careful.
Right.
You got to be careful. We're like, oh man, it's totally working for them. And you recognize, well, yeah, it works for them. One, people buy way more beauty products online than they do chocolate.
Yep.
And beauty has way better margins online. So you just got to be super hyper aware of who you're comparing yourself to and making sure you don't get yourself into trouble of being like, well, okay, they pay $2,000. I got to try that. It's like, that's a lot of bags of chocolate.
It doesn't equate quite the same, right?
So, yeah, just be hyper aware of that.
And
as best you can, test and learn and then keep growing quickly.
Yeah.
That's a pretty common theme, but hard to do at times.
What would you say? Okay, this is probably a deep philosophical question, but what would you say has probably been the one most important thing that you've learned on your business journey so far in this area? What would you say if you had to narrow it down?
People.
Okay. Talk people. To me about that.
In one word, I'd summarize as people. I remember having a mentor who said to me early on, like, people are going to be hard for you because you're all heart. I was like, well, why? I love people. And I think I get it from my mom. Like I naturally love people, which can in the end be hard because of that. So what I mean by that is learning, trying to be super clear on expectations when you hire people, as well as I used to be like, oh, I like them. Like they'll work. And then also recognizing if you are a founder, an entrepreneur, like recognize people aren't wired the same way as you.
Yeah.
And so when you think, oh, everybody's going to work as much as me, or everybody's going to be as invested as me, like that's not realistic to think that, nor should it be your expectation. So if you're not clear up front, I used to be like a little hesitant of like that I might scare them away when I lay out the expectations.
Right.
I've since realized if I scare them away, that's good for both of us, because one, they aren't stepping into a situation that's not going to work for them. And two, it's good for me because then I don't hire somebody that it's not going to work out for.
Right.
So the hiring, there's kind of aspects of the people thing, the hiring of the right people, being very, very clear on expectations. And if you scare some people away, consider that a good thing because it wasn't the right fit for either of you.
Yeah.
Two, candor of with people. And once you hire people, recognizing candor, great feedback, like truly is love. And that's one of our pillars here is want people to feel love through the brand, want people to feel love for each other here. And if you really care about somebody, you're going to be candid. You're going to give feedback. You're going to provide opportunities for them to grow and learn. And so that's been hard. Been very hard to approach. Gotten better at it for sure. And then lastly, at the end of the day, business is people. And so, you know, once you find those people that you can work with, and also taking care of them, and not in a way of like overpaying necessarily, but obviously taking care of people and finding out for people what matters.
Mm-hmm.
And that will save you in the long run, big time.
Yeah. Yeah.
And short term, not just long run. but in the short term too.
I love that. I love that. And that's very much at the mission of who we are at the agency as well, as, you know, we want to work with people who want to make the world a better place, who value people, planet, you know, those types of things. And having that, I think, at your core and your mission is so important, and it keeps you kind of on the straight and narrow. So I love hearing that. That's really exciting. So, okay, final question here as we start to wrap it up. I can't believe we've already talked for as long as we have. I feel like I could talk forever, but tell me, what is on the horizon now for JoJo's? What's coming next? What is something that you're really working on and you're excited about? Whether it's new product, new, you know, category, new place you're going to go, what's on the horizon?
Ooh, so many things. So speaking of focus and clarity, not going too wide, I always have to rein myself in. So we just launched a brand new peanut butter filled bar. It's this creamy peanut butter filled bar. So I'll talk about flavors first. And everything we've done is, like, instead of just innovating super wide, we're taking a look at what we have and improving. So this peanut butter, we've made it more creamy, and it is hands down the best peanut butter product out there. It is phenomenal. And we just launched in every Costco region in the country, 8 out of 8, rolling out between January and April. And so that's happening / on the horizon that we're super excited about.
Yeah.
On top of that, we got some this year around Christmas time, we have a phenomenal peppermint pretzel item. Oh my gosh. Ooh. It's so good, because we've taken what we all eat every year, which are those pretzel crisps, right?
Yeah.
Do not have the best ingredients. So we've taken that and made it phenomenal. We use a gluten-free pretzel. It's cassava flour, super clean, low sugar, no color dyes in the peppermint. It's an incredible product. So
amazing.
That's from a product standpoint. Internally at JoJo's, we just extended it and are bringing on a brand leader, VP of brand, starting next week. Mm-hmm. So thrilled to make this brand come to life. And for us, I know we haven't tapped into the brand potential here. And so to have him on and lead that charge, I can't wait. I think we really can accomplish some great things of making that brand come to life.
Oh, I'm excited to see it. I'm excited. Yeah. That's amazing. Well, okay. So of course people want to know where they can find you and where can they buy your products? Tell us where it's the best place to go.
Absolutely. As I just mentioned, Costco, feel free to grab it at your Costco. We're in Sprouts nationwide, select Targets. And then of course, online, Amazon, our website, Thrive Market, great places to find it. For us, find us at JOJOS on Instagram. So JoJo's, LinkedIn, feel free to connect Sterling Jones, with JoJo's, find me there. And, we love feedback. We love, to hear how y'all enjoy the product.
Love it. Well, we'll drop all of those links in the show notes so that everybody can go get themselves several bags and watch for new upcoming products. This will be amazing. Sterling, thank you so much for sharing your journey with us. I know it's really inspiring, and I know it'll help a lot of our listeners. So thank you so much.
Thank you for having me. Such a pleasure to be here.
All right, everybody, stay tuned for the next episode dropping next week. And if you have any questions for Sterling or for JoJo's in particular, you can drop your questions below here in our question and answer box. And we'll be sure to get that to Sterling and get those questions answered for you. So thank you so much for listening. And until next time. Thank you so much for listening to today's episode. If you like what you've heard, I'd be so grateful if you'd leave a review. And don't forget to subscribe so you never miss an episode. If you'd like to see if you're a good fit to work with the Digital Dawn team, head over to digitaldawnagency.com/contact and let's book a call. Thanks so much again, and until next time.